Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we start a new day. A new day with God, a new day in whatever it is we must do today. I pray that your yesterday was great. I pray that you had time with family, and that you are feeling well. I'm thankful to be with you this morning. I kind of was not feeling very well on yesterday, but God, hallelujah, still a little under the weather this morning again, but God, thankful that he woke me up this morning, clothing my right mind, hallelujah. As I say every day, I am thankful, I am grateful, for I know that I am blessed to be a child of God. So I thank God again for another day, because somebody didn't get one, because then he threw it away. So let's go into prayer this morning. Father God in heaven, we come together today, Lord God, thanking you for your grace, thanking you for your mercy, thanking you for your goodness, Lord, and thanking you for your kindness. Thank you for the love that can only come from you, God. Thank you for the hope in a future, God, that only you can give. So, Father God, as I lift up this mighty word to you today, I ask you as I ask every day, Father God, please increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. And you, Lord God, are my Redeemer. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for another day. In Jesus' name I pray. Let this word touch someone's heart, touch someone's mind, and touch someone's spirit, that they who may not be saved will say, what must I do to be saved? And that they accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and their Savior. Again, in his name I pray. Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning again. Thank you for joining me for our time with God. Time to study his word and show ourselves approved. Time to know that there is no one and nothing like our God, who is in heaven and who loves us completely and totally. So all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, God. And thank you, God. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever, is our title for this morning. His mercy endures forever. I thank God for his mercy. Because if it was not for his mercy, I'm not sure I would be here today. So I say thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness toward each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for just being good. Hallelujah. Lord, you are good. Hallelujah. The song says, and the word says, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let's get into our word this morning, saints and family. And the word for today is coming out of 2 Chronicles, chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 42. A little bit longer today than yesterday. The 79th Psalm, verses 11 through 13. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 13 through 14. And Acts chapter 13. Where we will be coming from today. And again, Acts chapter 13, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 25 in today's lesson. So let's get started. Get your Bible. That's what this is. This is Bible study. And I want to start with a prayer for today. And it simply says simplicity. I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's clever lies, your thoughts may be corrupted and you may lose your single-hearted devotion and pure love for Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:13 TCC. God of my heart, you are my first love, the greatest love of my life. I am overcome when I consider your faithfulness to me, even in my deliberate wandering, where my heart is filled with the love of other things that compete for your attention and affection. I ask that you open my eyes to the greatness of who you are. I don't want to waste energy or lessen love that have nothing lasting to give me. With the clarity of a sound mind, I consider the fruit of your presence in my life. Your affections aren't dictated by my response. You don't hold back your friendship when I am distancing myself. You are so much better than anyone ever known. Why would I let my heart be divided when you are the endless goodness I've been searching for? Let the pull of distractions fade as I reset my heart and mind on you. And it says, what has distracted you from God's love lately? And I can honestly say, the news and politics and things that I need to just chill on, mostly YouTube, is my distraction. I have a tendency to be on YouTube all day if given opportunity to watch different things, you know, pretty much mostly. And I have to say, Lord, get that stuff out of my spirit, because it just gets so old and repetitious that you just get tired and it makes you sick. I think that's why I'm not feeling my best, is because I'm just tired. Tired of the craziness that goes on this planet. But God, hallelujah. And we have to say, for his mercy endures forever. So let's get into our word this morning. So all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the furnishings, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel in Jerusalem, that they might bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with the king at the feast, which was in the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark, the tabernacle meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up, also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark, were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. Remember, the cherubim stretched across the entire room, 5 cubits in length. So total was 20 cubits across the entire room, that the wings went from wall to wall and touched in the middle. Beautiful and of solid gold, just gorgeous. You can see it in your mind. And it goes on to say, For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles of the ark could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary. But they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets, which Moses put there at Horeb. Then the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they had come out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers, all those of Asher and Heman and the brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpets and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up the voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. And that is our title for this morning, coming out of 2 Chronicles 5, chapter 5. And we're at verse number 13, where our title is coming from. And I just have to say it one more time. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. And it says that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. But the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Hallelujah. The glory of God filled the house. Thank you, God. Can you imagine a Holy Ghost moment and clouds coming down into the church? Because it's the Holy Ghost, the clouds of God coming into bringing his presence with you. What a mighty God he says. Chapter 6, 2 Chronicles. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark clouds. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel. While all the assembly of Israel were standing, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hand what he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying, this is the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt. I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house that my name might be there. Nor did I choose any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. Yet I have chosen Jerusalem that my name may be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. For the Lord has fulfilled his word, which he spoke, and I have fulfilled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And there I have put the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with children of Israel. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. For Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And he stood on it, knelt down on his knees before all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way that they walk in my law as you have walked before me. Hallelujah. And I love that word, only if. Only if God put that only if in there, that you cannot have a person on the throne if you're not doing right, if they're not doing right. And we know that it got to the point after Solomon split. 10 went this way, 2 went that way. Because of disobedience. And we can't be disobedient to God. We got to remember who our Father is. And the one thing we have to remember is he loves us and he wants the very best for us. We got to thank him every day. And it says, now, and now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. God indeed dwell with men on the earth. Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication. O Lord, my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place, and may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel. When they pray toward this place, hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. If anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servant, bringing retribution on the wicked by bringing his weight on his own head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Or if your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and return and confess your name, and pray and make supplications before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel. Excuse me. And bring them back to the land which you gave to them and their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin. Excuse me, family. People have been burning tree limbs. And I have, I don't do well with smoke. And it's, the smoke is like in the air. So, excuse me, please keep me in your prayers. Because the air is getting to me. But a voice this morning. And as we continue in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, and I'm at verse number 22, it says, when the heavens are shut up, and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray for this place and confess your name, and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, or blight, or mildew, locusts, or grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, Israel, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hands to this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive, and give to everyone according to all his ways, the heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of the sons of men, that they may fear you, to walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, but has come from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray in this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do according to may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to you towards this city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, but there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to a land far unknown. Yet when they come to themselves in the land, he doesn't realize he's giving a prophetic word right here. They were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done wrong, and have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried captive, and pray toward their land which you gave to their father, the city which you have chosen, and toward the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open, let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercy of your servant David. Wow, what a word this morning. And I have a few life lessons to share. The first is from chapter 5, verse 14. The priest could not minister because the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. God's presence is sometimes so overpowering that you can't help but stop whatever you're doing. You may think that you must do something in order to please God. However, what he really wants is your full attention and obedience. Real worship is when you exalt him. It's not what you do for him. God is worthy of your worship and complete concentration. So take time to enjoy him often. Chapter 6, verse 15 of 2 Chronicles. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your heart, with your hand. What God speaks with his mouth, he fulfills with his hand. God's word is an immovable anchor in times of storm. Hallelujah. We all know and thank God that he's with us today, that he has covered us today. I pray that all of those in my community who have been without electricity, that you all have it, because I know what it's like not to have electricity. Because when I don't have electricity, I have no water. I have nothing, because my well is electric pump is what keeps the water flowing through my house. And I have to keep, like the ladies with the oil, I have to keep a 50-gallon drum of water at all times so that we have water in our house to do the things that you need to do, to bathe, to wash yourself. You know, I can't warm it up. It just has to be cold because I have electric stove. Everything is electric. And so I have to be very, very careful. So I say to you today, be grateful for what you got. Thank God in the midst of your storm. 6:30 of 2 Chronicles. Hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive and give to everyone according to all. We might consider this verse the Old Testament equivalent to Philippians 4:6. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God invites our prayers. Are you letting God know your request? Are you praying? In everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Take it to the throne and not the phone. God knows what you need. How does my relationship with the Lord affect what and how I hear from him? Our relationship with God, the most important aspect of our lives, affects greatly what we hear when we pray and listen. The only message an unbeliever will ever hear from God is that he is a sinner who needs Jesus as his Savior. Until that person knows Jesus Christ as his personal Messiah, he will not hear God speak on any subject other than salvation. In the life of a believer, that speaker-hearer relationship has two main features. First, we are saved when by the faith we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible says we are born again of darkness and places us into the kingdom of light. We become children of God. Our salvation experience begins our relationship with him. Second, we are identified with him. Our salvation takes care of our eternal security, while our identification takes care of our daily walk of victory by identification. I mean that Christ's life is now mine and mine is his. Do you identify with Jesus today? Do you identify as a child of God? Do you identify, I am a member of the way. I am a member of the light. I am a child of God who is the source of my strength and the life that flows through me. It's Jesus Christ. We got to know who we belong to. I belong to the Most High. I may not act like it all the time, but I know who my daddy is. And he came from heaven above. He touched my hand. He changed my life. He made me whole. He saved my life more than once. Hallelujah. Hit by a car at 7, still here. Car accident, still here. Don't tell me what my daddy got. Can't do. God hit my head in a fall when I was younger. Still here. God is good. Still here. Because somebody didn't get to stay. Somebody is asleep and won't wake up until the second coming. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's where I want to be. In the presence of God. When it is my time, when he finally does call me home. Hallelujah. We got to know who we belong to. Do you belong to the Lord God? Say yes. Yes. Yes, I do belong to you. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus, more than anything. It's not just a song. It's got to be your testimony. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. What happened to Christ at Calvary also happened to me. Christ was crucified. I was crucified. Christ was buried. I was buried. Christ was raised. I was raised. All I can say is I felt like that when I went into the water and I went under and I came back up. A new me. I thank God for the baptism of Jesus Christ. I thank God for my baptism. One who is safe and secure in the love of God and sustained by his grace no longer. He is from a distant God. He now listens to someone who loves him enough to bring him into a close personal relationship. And that makes all the difference. We no longer come to him groping and pleading, wondering whether he accepts us through my identification with him. Come gladly and boldly, knowing that I am accepted, not because of my behavior, but because of my belief in him and in what he has already accomplished. Thus, I can approach him with confidence and great assurance. Jesus is now my personal faithful and merciful high priest. He is my Father with whom I enjoy intimate communication. I no longer have to stand on the perimeter, squinting into the distance for a glimpse of his presence. Jesus has paid the price of relationship with God through his shed blood, so that now I am a full member of his own family. Sitting daily before him, totally secure in my sonship. Why do I hear his voice? I hear it because I am one of the sheep of his pasture. Are you hearing your shepherd's voice this morning? Hallelujah. Are you thanking him for another day? Are you giving him praise? Are you saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah? But he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the church say, his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. The 79th Psalm, verses 11 through 13. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die and return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom. Their reproach with which they have reproached you O Lord. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, we will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord with me this morning. Just say thank you, God. Thank you, God, for another day. I'm thanking God for breath in my body. I'm thanking God that he's bringing me through. Hallelujah. The enemy thought he was going to cause me to cough all through the show. But God, don't tell me what my daddy can't do. Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning. And I'm grateful that God is with me. And as Proverbs 20:13-14 says, do not love sleep lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasts. Hallelujah. And if you don't understand, as folks that always want to complain, like, oh, I don't have this and I don't have that. But when they out of your hearing, they tell God how grateful they are. Come on now. Thank God every day. Don't be ashamed that God has blessed you. Don't be ashamed that God has brought you through. Don't be ashamed to tell the Lord thank you. Hallelujah. Thank God for everything that I have. Because there is somebody that has a whole lot left. Thank God for your blessings. Thank God for his grace. The 13th chapter of Acts. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, many who had been brought with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia. And from there they called to Cyprus and And when they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. The man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, and that is Elymas, and it says, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Paul, who also was called Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. Come on now. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from there, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any words of exhortation for the people, say so." Then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers, exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifting arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise God raised up for Israel, a Savior, Jesus.'" Hallelujah. After John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, "Who do you think I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose." And that is our word for this morning. A life lesson from chapter 13 of Acts. From this man's seed, according to the promise God raised up for Israel, a Savior, Jesus. Paul was always reminding the Jewish people that Christ was the fulfillment of God's covenant with David and Abraham. This is because from childhood they would have looked forward to the Messiah. However, they were looking for an earthly deliverance rather than the eternal salvation God was offering. Their understanding needed to change. Yet even when God is changing our understanding, we can always remember that Jesus not only saves us, he is the ultimate reminder that God always keeps his promises. And that is our word for this morning. And all I can say is thank you, Lord God, for getting me through this day. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for just being in this place this morning. But God loves us so much, and he cares about us so much. And as Sister Carolyn has given us the word this morning, when God decides to bless you, he will cause situations to come together in your favor, no matter what others try to do. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. Don't worry about what he said, she said, a boo-boo and them down the street said. Just know what God said, that he loves you, and you are his, and he is yours. Grateful that God chose me to deliver this word this morning, and that God showed you that he is in charge even of the breath in her body, that the enemy may come at you with a cough, with trying to take your breath away. But God said, not today. Not today. My daughter will speak. My daughter will read my words, and she will do it with clarity. So all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for blessing me with breath in my body. Thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity to go to work for you. Hallelujah. Thank God today. and give him praise. Let him know what you think. Let him know that he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And all I can say is, thank you. If there's anyone that has a word that God has placed on your heart that you would like to share this morning, please push the number one. If not, we will be wrapping up early, because that's all the word God gave me for today, and I'm doing what I'm told. I see there are no hands up, no one wanting to speak, so I say to you, thank you for listening in. Please join me again tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., God willing. I will be here, ooh, hallelujah, with my gift to get my praise on, because the word of God just lifts me up in the morning. So thank you so much. May God bless you. May God keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, watching each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember to give God praise, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Have a blessed day, family. It's the wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.